Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to Overtime Hockey Talk. My name is Mark Paul. My co-host, Justin Baker, in studio, as per the usual. And Justin, today's a special show.
Special. How so?
Because we're finally done our player rankings. We've got all those. You can go back and listen to those. Of course, every week we're still chugging out top 10 players from different teams. You'll see later on in the week, you'll see top 10 Ottawa Senators.
Ooh.
That was a good little fun episode we did. But now we do a deep dive. We are going to dive into everything Detroit Red Wings, and we're going to talk line combos. We're going to talk some of the deals that they've made so far this season, and I think, you know, we'll take a look, maybe projecting over the next couple years what your expectations are. Now, you're the Red Wings fan. You're the one who, like, you follow them much more closely than I do, like more on a game to game. I'm a little bit more like, I tune in, I watch a period here and there. I probably have watched 4 or 5 games total thus far this year, whereas they played, what, 19? You've seen most of them.
Yeah, 19, yeah.
So I'm going to be leaning on you a little bit more in this episode, but I think as far as the Iser plan goes, I think we can take a look at this, like the broad spectrum. Look at what he did in Tampa Bay, kind of compare it to what he's done so far in Detroit, and we'll see where this team will be in the next couple of years. Maybe project it out a little bit and have some fun here.
Should be exciting.
Okay, so starting off, let's talk about current state of affairs.
Current state of affairs.
Red Wings just traded for Robbie Fabbri. Trade date, Jacob Delarose. 2 games in, looking pretty good. Fabbri scores two goals in his first game as a Red Wing. And in the next game, has a great set up on Mantha's goal in overtime, right?
Yeah, overtime winner.
So 3 goals in his first 2 games, whereas he had 1 goal in 9 games with St. Louis before this, and only had 2 goals in 32 games the year prior. He has only played, 94 games the last 3 years. So even though he's 24 years old now?
Yeah, not too old.
It's almost like he's like a 22 year old coming in, like in terms of his development. He just hasn't gotten in the same kind of reps as a lot of 24 year olds will get. So with that said, your thoughts on that trade, and then we'll get into how it impacts the rest of the roster.
Yeah, first off, a tip of the cap to the St. Louis Blues for basically just gifting us this wonderful prospect, this wonderful young talent. I mean, let's be honest, Robbie Fabbri was he had a lot of high expectations when he was drafted by St. Louis, and
21st overall. Yeah,
they were expecting some big things. However, it's not that he didn't pan out, it's just that St. Louis was so deep with forwards. I mean they've got young guys right now like Ivan Barbashev and Robert Thomas right now who have, you know, only been able to crack the third line. It's just because they are that deep offensively with this team. And you saw it last year, that how they were able to win the cup. And, you know, I can't can't remember where I saw it, but you know, they released a statement from management at St. Louis that says basically we talked to this kid and we said, hey, we want to find something that works for you so you can be successful, because you're not going to get it here. You know, and I think the coaching staff said that, you know, Alex Steen, with his recent injury, they said even though he was coming off the power play, Robbie Fabry wouldn't have made it on there because they just have other guys that they want to give a look to. And, you know, that kind of sucks for a guy who has the ability and capability to be a top six, maybe even top nine guy for an organization. He just doesn't have that opportunity in St. Louis, and it sucks. But, you know, St. Louis knew it, and that's why they were willing to take Jacob De La Rose, because they knew this is a guy who's not going to be anything more than a fourth line grinder for him. And, you know, they wanted to give Fabry the opportunity.
Yeah. And Jacob De La Rose, he does have a decent ceiling. It's sure. Not like you're not expecting him to pan out to be nothing. But Robbie Fabry, I mean, we are far removed from 15-16, his rookie year, where he gets 37 points in 72 games. They go into the playoffs, they make it to the third round, and he's got 15 points in 20 playoff games.
Freaking great.
And you're looking at this kid going, this kid's like one of the future players for this Blues team. He's going to make an impact.
Yeah.
They do go and win the Stanley Cup, but it's not with Robbie Fabry doing anything. So with that said, I love the move for the Red Wings.
Yeah, and I mean, he's had some injury problems, and that's why he kind of fell down the depth chart for St. Louis, because he missed a whole entire season. I mean, the guy I can't remember what the injury was, but he basically broke his leg.
Yeah.
So, you know, that sucks for a kid. You know, when you're trying to develop your talent and trying to crack a lineup, and you get sidelined for so long, it's kind of hard to get back in that groove, no matter, you know, especially when it's a leg injury, right? An ankle leg injury, because you rely so heavily on your skating ability in today's NHL. It delays your development even more for a young kid like that.
Yeah. Okay, so when you think about Robbie Fabry long term, is he a guy that now, all right, I mean, obviously he's playing with Mantha, like we're plugging him in.
Right, he's plugged in top six already.
Yeah. And he's getting his opportunity. Like, here it is. Here's your opportunity. Like, you're probably not getting another one, because, you know, you hopefully can stay healthy and have a few good years here with the Red Wings. When you can acquire a guy like that, it doesn't necessarily fast forward what you're going to do. It's not like the Red Wings are going to change their plan because they were able to get Robbie Fabry. He's a nice piece. Definitely complimentary, though.
No, absolutely. And he's not a guy that changes your franchise overnight, right? I mean, you're hoping he's going to provide good depth, because the Wings do have a good, you know, top line right now between Bertuzzi, Mantha, and Larkin. That's a quality line, I could say, you could put out there. And, you know, maybe they might develop into, you know, they're not going to have the capabilities of maybe, you know, a Boston top line with Pasternak. You know, they might not be that dominant as that line, but they could still be a formidable top line, and so you need guys below them to fill it out. And I think, you know, Anthony Seau is one guy they're hoping is going to kind of fill in that spot, but, you know, the Red Wings just don't have anything else really, you know, ready to go. And I think when you bring in a guy like Fabry, you say, hey, you know what, you're on the last year of your deal. We can pay you some dollars if you go out and say, hey, I deserve to be in a top six role here, and, you know, I'm going to prove that you can invest in me long term.
Right, and one of the biggest issues for the Red Wings has been their inability to move much, because they've had so many of these veteran contracts. They just holding anchor contracts that are holding down the whole entire team. A lot of those are coming off the books. Jimmy Howard is a UFA. He may, you know, he's kind of your, like, he might come back next year. You know,
deal, but it'll be for pennies on the dollar. Won't be too much money.
Mike Green, probably not coming back next year. Definitely not at a $5.3 million hit. And then you're talking a few guys that are going to come out of here. Jonathan Erickson, he'll be off the books. He is buried right now, but still some of his, it's 3.175 is what his cap hit now is instead of 4.2. But him, you got Trevor Daley, he's a free agent. So you're getting closer to some of these guys and their deals ending. You still got Franz Nielsen for another 2 years after this year, Abdelkader for another 3 years. But I think it's safe to say, like, some of these deals are now maybe in play. Like Darren Helm at 3.85, I don't love it, but he's only got 1 year after this year left on that deal.
Yeah, that's true.
He could be moved.
Absolutely. And he's still a capable third line guy. he's very fast still for his age, so he can still skate up and down, and he kills penalties very well.
It's actually hard to believe that him and Abdelkader are both 32 years old.
I know.
Just doesn't...
Yeah. And Helm, the great thing about Helm, too, is he's versatile, right? You can put him at center. He's a great faceoff guy, and he can play the wing. So, you know, if you're a team that maybe needs a little depth scoring and you're looking to make a push next season, you can say, hey, you know what? For $3 million, we could add this piece that could really round off our third line quite nicely. So,
yeah, and it's a lot easier, for a team to take a guy with 1 year left on his deal, right, or like 1 year and 3 months left on his deal. When you look at that, the Adam Earn deal, Yzerman, we talked about it as soon as Yzerman signed with the Wings. We said, all right, who's going to be the first guy he brings over from Tampa Bay?
Right.
Adam Earn, he hasn't done anything really since getting to the Red Wings. Do you have any thoughts on whether or not, like, they're not really using him a ton playing?
No, he's a third line guy. Yeah. But I think this is kind of what Yzerman is. You know, he's handcuffed right now in terms of salary cap, right? The Wings don't have a lot of cap. Now, next year, they're going to have $35 million in free space, but they do have a lot of RFAs. They got guys like Mantha, who's going to probably eat up a big, you know, $7, $8 million chunk, I'm sure. Yep.
I mean, he's got, 11 goals so far right. this year. I mean, you parse that out, he's on pace for... I mean, it is not out of the realm of possibility. If he gets a little hot...
He can do 40.
He's very much a hot and cold kind of guy.
Sure.
Thus far in his NHL career, I mean 40, he's like more than on pace for 40. I'm thinking, like, if he gets hot, he could get 50.
Wow,
he gets hot enough. I mean, you look at 11 goals in 19 games, you parse that over 82 games, that's like 46 goals.
Wow,
I mean, that's a tough pace to continue, but somewhere between 35 and 50 goals, you're getting paid,
right?
I mean, you might be looking at it and going, like, all right, Mitch Marner got, 10-5? So I want 9-5?
Well, he could just look at Jeff Skinner, be like, there's a 40-goal scorer.
Yeah.
What he got, 9-plus million.
For 8 years?
Right. No, I don't know if
But see, now are you willing, with Mantha, I'm willing to pay him for 8 years because he's only 25.
Right. Which is great.
So you're essentially, you're buying 1 year of free agency. Because he'd be a restricted free agent for 1 year. The disaster would be if you can't sign him, you got to sign him to a 1 year deal, and then he becomes a UFA at the end of that year. He is arbitration eligible. So he could say, I want to go to arbitration, mm-hmm. get his 1 year deal, and become an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's dangerous. And not only that, but outside of Mantha, you know, you've got Anthony Seau and Tyler Bertuzzi, who Tyler Bertuzzi's having a great season. He seems to have found his offensive game playing up top with, I mean, he was starting to come on end of last season, but man, he's rolling already this year with Mantha and Lark, and those three look pretty good. And so, you know, you're going to see those guys get paid. And I think Anthony Seau, maybe not as much money as I thought they were going to have to shell out for him, because he doesn't look like he's going to have the same offensive successful season he did last year. But yeah, I mean, so
it's early.
Yeah, it's early again. You know, he could still turn it around. Now he gets to play alongside Robbie Fabry maybe for most of the year now. Maybe that might help. So again, I think, you know, the Wings are going to have a little bit of money now. But the difference was this year, right, they don't have a lot of that money. And back to what we were talking about, Adam Ernie, you know, that kind of move was, a low-risk, high-reward type of move. A guy who, you know, was a little bit more highly touted than he ended up panning out in Tampa. But he's a power forward type of guy. They thought, you know, he could probably be a second line role player, third line guy. And
it doesn't mean that he has no points in his first 16
sure.
games. It doesn't mean that he can't find his way, here with Detroit, 14 games. Sometimes it takes a guy a minute to adjust. He's playing like third, fourth line minutes on a team that isn't very good.
Right.
Doesn't have a lot of talent outside of the
top four or five guys there.
Yeah, and when you consider who, like, Valtteri Filppula centering that
third second line. Line. No, he's the centering second. With Fabry and Anthony Seau, and
Franz Nielsen has got that third line.
That third line duty.
And Franz Nielsen probably not your greatest
asset. The Islander Franz Nielsen we knew. That's no, for sure.
And I mean, he had an okay year last year, 35 points, but I mean, he's horribly struggled. There's no points in 15 games. Like, at this point, the problem is you can't even sell him. He got 3 years after this year left on his deal.
Well, 2 years, but still. But
2 years, sorry, yeah. 3 years right now.
I mean, yeah, at 5.2, that's a lot of money to try to convince a team to take, right? And I mean, back to Yzerman's moves here, you know, with Fabry, with Brendan Perlini and Adam Ernie, he's bringing in guys that are cheap, right? Guys that you don't have to be worried about being handcuffed because of the cap situation. And you're hoping these are guys that, you know,
even if one of them works out.
Right. That's the thing. Yeah. Guys who maybe, you know, like a Jesse Puljujarvi, for example, right? He's that type of guy where he was, you know, expectations were a little bit higher. Maybe they just didn't meet them or didn't have the opportunity in their current franchises, and you can buy them low and hope that they pan out. And you know, for the Red Wings, they do have some nice prospects coming up in the fourth position, but you know, you're hoping that maybe these guys, you know, still pan out. And so you can take a couple, you know, throw a couple darts at the board and maybe hope that, you know, one or two of these guys, like in these trades, pan out. And then you're saying, oh, freaking A, the Yzer plan is coming along a little quicker. So,
yeah, I mean, obviously the hope is that Joe Valeno can move along his development.
Be that next second line guy.
I'm not looking too much into what he's done so far in the AHL. Some guys have fantastic AHL seasons, go to the NHL, it doesn't translate. Other guys struggle in the A, they come to the NHL and they do just fine. With Valeno not playing, never playing in the AHL before, you know, you're going to give the guy 40 games before you start to really evaluate what's going on.
Right.
You're going to let that coaching staff coach him up. But we know we can score. I mean, 104 points in 59 games last year in the queue. Granted, it's the queue. Everyone scores a billion goals. Right. But you expect that if Joe Valeno can come up and be a part of your top six, I mean, that's a huge win.
Right.
Especially since he fell all the way to them at 30.
Yeah, exactly. Year. And he was a guy who was expected to go top 15 in that draft, and to fall all the way down to number 30 like that, it's a no risk reward kind of move. And
right.
You know, if he pans out to be the guy that, you know, he was originally thought to be, and you know, could be a future, you know, top nine, you know, second or third line center for us, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, and I'd say another guy like Filip Zadina, who again, not having like a balls out kind of AHL career, I think probably is a guy who's like, the AHL is a different style of play.
Yeah, it's a little bit more grindy.
A little bit more grindy.
Yeah.
And I think it's good because it prepares a guy who maybe doesn't play that way, teaches them how to play that way, because eventually you're going to get to the playoffs, you're going to play that way.
Right.
Like, there's going to be some of that. You need to be able to overpower people.
Seven St. points. Louis, how that worked out for him.
Right. So. I mean, he's got 5 goals, 14 games so far this season. Really, like the Grand Rapids Griffins, not a great team.
No, not expected to compete for a Calder.
Which, if you think about, all right, the NHL team isn't great. Of course, you're going to have your better prospects probably up with the team. It is a little surprising, though, that I think you'd hope Zadina would be in a little bit better position. Being down there, getting top line minutes, you'd expect for him to be a little bit better, but also 19 years old. Willing to be patient.
Still got time. Yeah. And that's the thing. The Red Wings have always been super patient with their prospects, right? They don't try to rush them in.
Oh, they wait till that banana is like brown.
Right.
I know. Forget it being ripe. Yeah. It's brown.
That's been the Jimmy DeVellano kind of mantra for the last, you know, quarter of a century here.
Wait until they've got some spots on them.
Yeah, some gray hairs, and then we'll bring them up. Yeah, another prospect, though. We're not talking about Drew Miller. So
that's exactly
on.
Who I thought of. Yeah. Sorry, Drew.
Oh, yeah, I felt bad for that kid.
Moritz Seider is having a nice start, though.
Yeah, he's looking really well, and from everything I hear, he just looks super comfortable in the NHL. And you think for a guy who's coming over from Europe, right? It's a totally different league when you come over to North America.
Sure.
And so
same with Zadina. Zadina's right. Coming over from, you know,
from the Czech Republic
his whole life.
Yeah, and I mean, they, you know, Zadina's supposed to be that big stay at home two way guy, but they're saying he's moving the puck really well. He skates really, really good. And so for a guy of his size, if he can continue to be a great skater and move the puck pretty decently, he'd be a lights out at number six. So hopefully it works out for him. We'll see. I'm sure most of these guys will get a look at some point this season, because I can't imagine You know, this year the Wings will, you know, they're not going to be competing for a playoff spot. You know, they might push a few teams, but they're going to be, you know, towards the bottom of the East for most of the season. And I think at some point you have to start giving a few of these guys a little bit of look. You know, when those roster expansions happen later on in the year, they'll bring up some of these guys like Zadina and Valeno and give them an extended look.
I think you're going to see something like knowing how the Leafs did it several years ago. You know, they're toiling as a bad team.
Right.
What they did with William Nylander after the trade deadline, that's when they brought him up. Before that was before Austin Matthews, before Mitch Marner. Mitch Marner had been drafted, but he wasn't on the team. They bring up William Nylander. They expose him to the NHL a little bit. And then you get your full season next year with other guys coming. So,
right.
I mean, you've got to expect the Red Wings likely going to have another top or their first top five pick because they've been just outside of that, right? With both their picks.
They finished, I think, they had the third best odds the last two seasons and they got six both times.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Bummer.
It'll be interesting to see who they can acquire in this draft because I think probably this is the most important draft now. They, in terms of ranking, they got very fortunate a couple years, you know, with 2 years ago getting Zadina at six where he was ranked third and Joe Valeno falls, I think, from like 18 or 19 all the way to 30 for the Red Wings. And Moritz Seider was a guy who was very highly touted as well. Maybe not necessarily. I don't think he fell, but they definitely, I think they scored with him. I think he's going to be a real nice piece.
I do too.
For the Wings.
I mean, how great would it be for the Wings if they luck out on the lottery and they get Alex Lafren?
Oh yeah. There's the two guys up at the top.
Gosh, he's supposed to be just a game changer on the wing.
I mean, that's, if you can get a top three pick, it's going to be a game changer.
Sure. Like, yeah.
9 times out of 10, that's a game changer for your team.
Yeah. Quentin Byfield would be fantastic if they get him.
Quentin Byfield,
number two or three. I mean,
and he's a monster too.
He is.
Like 6'5". Yeah. So I think when you consider what they've done so far, you consider what they've done in the draft and you think about moving forward here, when you look at their team as a whole, obviously you get a top three pick, you're taking one of the two forwards that are right at the top. I think the difficult thing is that, yes, they took Moritz Seider. Their defense is very thin still.
It is. Absolutely.
It's very, I mean, other than, like, I would say right now their only real top four defenseman is Dennis Cholowski.
Phil Peronik. I would throw him in there for sure. He's looked great so far this year, and I think he'll be a great top four. I don't think he'll ever be a legit top line one or two guy, but he'll be a fantastic.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Fantastic number three defenseman for this team for a lot of years here.
Okay. So. All right. That's fair. I'm wondering. All right. Like same with Dennis Cholowski. You sometimes look at a guy right now on a bad team and you go, hey, he's playing really well for us.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that doesn't always transfer over to, hey, we're on a good team now. How does that player look on a good team? And when that player actually, like, they've won. Where are they sitting in the standings right now?
They're second worst in the East.
Yeah. So. They aren't winning many games, which means that they're losing more battles than they're winning, which, yes, some guys are obviously going to put up points. I mean, they do have talent. The Wings are top heavy, but just not, there's just not that much at the top anyways.
Right.
They're not.
It's still thin up there,
too. Just in comparison to the rest of their team, they're top heavy, which isn't a bad place to be. I think I'd rather be a little top heavy right now than be that team where you're like, well, we've got a lot of guys that, we've got a lot of Mike Fishers in our organization. We've got a lot of third line guys.
Yeah, I will say, you know, it is nice. I did go and look at a few different sites and a few different, people that rank team prospect pools and where they fall in terms of, you know, and comparison to the rest of the league. And they had the wings right around 10 or 11 for all of these, pretty much, which is pretty nice. I mean,
and so, then, I mean, another top five pick, and suddenly you're in the top five anyways. Because,
absolutely.
Yeah, and you got to think that Zadina likely graduating to the NHL end of this year. And I think that if he doesn't make the team by next year, it's a disaster.
Right. Then you have to worry. Absolutely. And I think another great thing, too, for the Wings is, you know, with a lot of these pieces coming off the books, we talked about Jonathan Erickson, Mike Green, a lot of these guys can be dealt at the deadline, maybe even a Jimmy Howard to a team like maybe Vegas, for instance, who desperately needs a backup. You know, you can move these pieces and acquire some more picks, and maybe you get lucky, you know, for a team that's really desperate. Say, you know, say, for instance, you know, Vegas does, you know, they're sitting at number two in their division or number one. They're right there at the deadline, and Marc-Andre Fleury goes down, right? Now they would be willing to definitely give Detroit a first rounder for Jimmy Howard.
Sure, sure.
And, you know, so again, you could strike gold a little bit, or maybe you somehow manage to do what they did with Thomas Tatar and get a first, second, and third for him or something crazy like that. But yeah, the Wings could get pretty decent return in terms of draft picks back for some of these aging contracts here, and you know, maybe make, you know, the first real draft that Yzerman, you know, has a little bit more control over, you know, could really turn it into something pretty good.
Yeah. Talk to me about Svechnikov. Yevgeny Svechnikov. Oh,
yeah.
Because there was some high expectations for him. I mean, his brother is
lighting it up, lacrosse style.
Destroying it. And I mean, he was taken 19th overall in 2015, so obviously some high expectations for him. He's played fine at the AHL level. You bring him up to the pro level, and he doesn't seem to really get much of a chance. Like 2016-17, he gets up, plays two games. 17-18, he plays 14 games. Actually, doesn't do too bad. It's 4 points. Last year, doesn't get a sniff. This year, he's played 4 games. No points, but he's played 4 games.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem for him, you know, early on in his career was the first few years, he dealt with a lot of injuries, right? So not getting consistent time on the ice with guys, especially in the AHL. And then when he comes up and does play some minutes, you know, for the Red Wings, he's, you know, dealing with injuries again. Now this year, you know, he's come up, he's played 4 games, no points so far. But this is a guy to me who, you know, he's never going to be... you know, like his younger brother, Andre.
Yeah, he's not going to be Andre.
No, he's never going to be that good. But
and that's okay.
No, absolutely.
He doesn't need to be. I mean, he was the 19th overall pick, so you'd like him to come in and play in top nine.
Yeah, and I still think he's very capable of being a top nine guy for this team. However, you know, he's got great puck-moving ability. He's got a great shot. But the defensive side of the game is where it kind of lacks a little bit. And I think, you know, if he can improve on that two-way game just a little bit more and sort of just round out the rest of his game, he could easily, you know, crack this top nine next year for sure.
Don't see him staying up consistently this year though.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. One guy that always interested me was Matt Pumple. He was taken, I think
that name
taken
alone.
taken by Ottawa, like, oh gosh, what was it? 24th overall in 2011. He's actually having a pretty good season for the Grand Rapids Griffins this year and last year. Can never seem to get it done in the playoffs, but or in the NHL, but doesn't really get much of a sniff. Like, I mean, he's been moved around so much, but every time he comes up, I mean, he had with the Rangers, he had 9 points in 27 games, so it's not bad. for a third, fourth line guy. Hasn't gotten really much of an opportunity with the Wings. He played 8 games last year, got a goal. 50 points last year in the A, the year before 54 points, and has 16 points in 14 games so far. I'm looking at him going, he's 26 years old. He'd be an easy guy to bring up third, fourth line, and maybe you don't want to disrupt what's happening with the AHL team, but they're not that good anyways. Yeah, I wonder if he's like a surprise, like a late development type of player, a guy who could come in, score you 15 goals.
Like a Dan Cleary type
guy. I mean, he's putting up 50-something points every year in the AHL the last couple of years. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility to think that given put in the right situation, that he could come up as a winger. He can play both sides, so he's very versatile. Come up and you know, maybe get some second power play time too, because I think there's... That second power play for the Red Wings is kind of a revolving door, right?
Like, it really is.
You don't know who's going to appear on there. And so why not bring up a guy who's, I mean, 7 goals in 14 games. He's got more goals than most guys on the
Red Wings
in the rest of the organization. So why not? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he's a guy who at this point in his career, I think at 26, you know, not a lot of teams are going to look at him and be like, okay, well, you know, he is what he is, right? I think most teams, you know, aren't going to go out and say, well, shoot, he's not like Jesse Puljujärvi, where they're like, okay, well, we got some time, he could develop, right? But again, some guys maybe come into the game a little bit later in life, and, you know, that's fine. But I think with Detroit, at least the last couple seasons since he's arrived from New York, you know, he's kind of been stuck low on that depth chart, and I think the Wings have been just kind of cemented down with all these veteran contracts they've had, and you don't give an opportunity for a guy like that. And when you have a lot of younger players that you've drafted, you know, yourself and in the organization a lot higher in the first round, you know, you're trying to give those guys a look first over a guy like, you know, Pumple.
Sure. Matt Pumple.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, versus a guy like that who
Puempel?
Puempel, maybe that. Pimple? Yeah, okay. Yeah, so I think if he does crack the Wings lineup, it's going to be probably a fourth line, you know, role, but he'll have to go out there and take his 9-10 minutes, you know, and really prove that, hey, you know what? I can play. I can stick in this league. And so you know, but again, I think he's playing so well right now in the AHL. You know, you kind of get that idea that, okay, cool, we don't want to mess what we got going up down here for him because he's playing so well. We want to take a look at some of these other younger guys who maybe aren't producing and see if they can be NHL guys.
Sure, but, sure. And I understand. You just wonder, sometimes you get that player who everything comes together for them when they're like 26, 27.
Yeah,
and
like they give you Dan Cleary. I mean,
two or three example. Real nice years where, you know, the way that he can shoot the puck, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that if he can develop properly, I know it's late, we're late in the game, but there are those players that happens to. He seems to be getting better, and that usually doesn't happen.
Yeah, and as a 26 year old. A nice thing about that too for the Red Wings is that makes a good trade chip, right? For a team that maybe is looking for third or fourth line scoring, a little bit of depth, like maybe for instance Boston, right, who just can't seem to figure out what to do with, you know, David Backes, and they could really use a guy maybe in on that third line.
I don't think you're getting anything for Matt Pumple.
I don't know. You might get a fourth round pick or something, but
I think he's a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah,
I think a guy like that is a guy that I'm looking. You know, you've got all these opportunities, and now's the time to like let's see who can do something. Who can earn it. The other side of it is, do we want to bring guys up and have them play 15 games, and if it doesn't work, send them back down, or do you want to say, you know what, you're here for the whole season. Let's not see what you can do over 10. Let's see what you can do over 80 games and see how a guy can develop. I think there's a difficult balance. Like it's a line to walk.
It really is, yeah. And I think like we talked about before, Detroit's got so many veteran contracts and, you know, it's hard to find roster spots for a lot of these younger guys or guys of, you know, his age at his stage in his development. So, yeah, it's going to be tough to find a spot for him in the NHL level when, you know, you have all these other younger guys like Veleno and Zadina who you'd rather give looks to and hope that they pan out.
Sure.
So,
yeah. Also, Elmer Söderblom, currently third in the old Super Elite.
Oh boy.
Swedish league. So, sixth round pick, I think last year or the year before. But
yeah, the Red Wings got a nice, speaking of Swedish league, the Red Wings picked up a Oliver Koski. He's playing right now in the University of Denver, I believe it is, and he's tearing it up there. But he was the Swedish Elite League's leading scorer on the back end in D, and he's only like, I think he's like 24 years old. So, you know, they plugged themselves a pretty good defenseman right now that they could, you know, maybe next year plug in when guys like Eriksson and Mike Green come off the books, so... the Red Wings got some decent prospects, and it's, you know, it's not whether or not these guys will be superstars, because I think maybe Zadina might be the only one who you could look at and say he has the potential to be.
Well, I think Moritz Seider has the potential to be like a definitely top four, maybe be that top defenseman.
Absolutely could be. Absolutely. But, you know, there's not a whole lot of guys. And so when you look at, you know, you have to be creative, I guess, at this point, because the Cubs aren't as, you know, full as a lot of other teams. And so, you know, the Red Wings haven't had the luxury of picking number one, number two overall for multiple years. Like, for instance, you know, teams like, you know, Pittsburgh got to do, or Toronto.
Edmonton.
Edmonton or whomever. So, you know, the Wings got to be creative in other ways. And that, you know, that comes at looking overseas and trying to pluck guys out of the SEL. So.
It also comes with, like, if you're going to be bad, be bad.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's okay.
Yeah, embrace the tank.
I think this year is the year to embrace the tank.
Right. Yeah. Miami Dolphin fans are getting pissed off because Miami's winning two games in a row now. And it's like, what the frick? We got to lose here so we can go after what's-his-face from LSU to quarterback our team. I mean, freaking A.
Last guy, Michael Rasmussen. He has been back and forth between the NHL and the AHL. Do you see him as somebody who ultimately does something with the Wings? I mean, last year he played 62 games. He gets 18 points. He was okay, kind of playing in that third line role. In the AHL, he's got 8 points in 9 games so far this year. Is he somebody that, like, to me, he maybe is like the first guy that you need to bring up?
Yeah, he's definitely up there on that list in terms of like top two or three guys that, you know, when you're looking to call someone up, that's probably who the Wings would look to. But I think right now, the Wings probably know they're going to be bad this year. And so I think it's better for his development to be a top line guy on a pretty decent AHL team or mediocre AHL team versus being, you know, a third line guy on a pretty crappy, you know, NHL team.
Yeah.
And I think for his development, that probably would work out better. I think he does have some things to work on. And, you know, when you're not getting the minutes to work on those things in game,
that's true. Yeah.
You know, it makes it a little harder. Line. Yeah, so I think for his development, it's much better for him to be suited in the AHL right now.
Any goalies that you foresee? I mean, right now we're like very short term for the Wings. I don't know. I don't know anything about goalies coming.
No, I will say the Red Wings do have one decent goaltender in their pipeline that I am excited about. He could be a potential starter for the Red Wings, and that's Philip Larson. Gosh, where did he got drafted? Where was it? The sixth round in 2016 by the Red Wings. So kind of a guy who could be, you know, a late round steal, much like a Zetterberg or Dadzuka, although I don't see him being the superstars they were.
Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
Oh, he was at the University of Denver. Okay.
That's who it was. I'm sorry. Yep. But he's been off to a little rocky start with the AHL this season, but last year he was fantastic. You know, the year before that, I mean, he in World Juniors and the USHL, he had put up fantastic numbers, right? So he's got the tools, he's got the size, he's got the ability to be, you know, a decent starter. It's just whether or not he'll develop into that. And I think, you know,
call me when he's like 25.
Right. I think he's still got a couple more years left to develop. He's not ready. So again, this is why you might see the Red Wings, you know, try to go on a 1 year deal with Howard till this kid's ready, or maybe the Wings might draft somebody, or even better, the Wings might, you know, with all that cap space next year, they might try to go after and pluck somebody. Like Robin Lehner's a free agent next year, although I probably see him signing an extension with Chicago.
If you can figure out how to develop goalies more quick,
yeah,
you'll be a millionaire.
Absolutely.
Quickly, very quickly.
Yeah, I think the Islanders goalie coach, what's his face, Cook, I think is his last name.
Yeah.
He's the only guy right now where you just look at him and be like, okay, just sign whatever check number he wants, and yeah, that's what we're going to pay that guy.
It seems like there's one or two goalie coaches all the time that, like, they appear and they make goalies amazing for a minute, and then the goalie coach disappears again. It's such a weird position. I don't even think we know how to... Like, the stats that we have are stupid.
Yeah, like, and you know what's crazy to me? Like, I was listening to SiriusXM the other day, and they were talking about goalies, right? Developing goaltenders and the risk it is. And so you look at a lot of these GMs, right? Why goalies aren't taken in the first round anymore, right? Last year we had Spencer Knight taken, I think it was like 16, 18 for the Florida Panthers. And yeah, they've got Bobrovsky locked up long term. And so to them, they can say, okay, we can sit on this guy, but... Then on the flip side, you look at it and say, okay, well, you use a first-round pick on a guy you're probably not going to use over the next 2 or 3 years.
You're probably going to be fired by the time that...
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. Most GMs are scared to take goalies because by the time they actually get to see them in the system, they're fired.
Yeah.
So why waste your time? And so, you know, the goaltender position is the hardest to project. And so, you know, a lot of goaltenders
because it's so, like, it all depends on the team in front of you.
Right. It absolutely does. And, it, you know, most goaltenders don't actually find their game until they're 25, 26. And by, you know, I mean, by that time you've been, you know, floating around between minor leagues and the NHL for 6-7 years.
I mean, look at Jordan Binnington.
Yeah.
Guy was in the U.
I know, frick. He had to like say, hey, send me to the Providence Bruins so I can develop so I can play. And because they were ready to just dump him and freaking A. I mean,
yeah, look at Tim Thomas. Look at Craig Anderson. Like all guys who maybe developed a little bit later in their career.
Right. It's so hard to find a Marc-Andre Fleury who you know you're going to pick, you know, right. at the top and he's going to be fine. That Carey never happens. Yeah.
It hasn't happened in a long time.
Yeah.
That's what, like 15 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
Almost, and those guys were taken. It's a very volatile position, and it's almost worth just like, we'll just sign somebody.
Right. It's almost easier to let them develop and say, okay, we'll just pluck them out later. We'll make a trade, or we'll, you know,
like offer money. I think of the Leafs and their development. I mean, they traded Tuukka Rask, so that's on them.
That is, yeah.
But you look at the guys that they've tried to, like, Andrew Raycroft wins Rookie of the Year. They bring him in. He's garbage. Vesa Toskala looks like an awesome backup for the San Jose Sharks. Gets his opportunity to start as a goalie, and he's terrible.
Right.
You've got James Reimer, who was fine. Like, they developed James Reimer for years, and he was still just fine. It's
fine, yeah.
Garrett Sparks in the organization for 7 years. They let these different guys, you know, they let the backup goal go who was unreal.
Curtis Macklin?
Curtis Macklin. Yeah. And they keep him because they're like, he's been here for 7-8 years. We got to hang on to the guy we developed.
That investment of time. And
then they let him go because he was so bad. He could not get it done at the pro level. And I think it's because maybe it's so much more mental as well as the physical. And it depends on the team in front of you. Like, if you want to listen to a very nerdy goalie podcast, go listen to In Goal Magazine Radio, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
In Goal. Those guys, I mean, they have pro goalies on all the time, but they get into it. Things that I'm
begin
not a goalie
to understand. Yeah.
But just how certain goalies will be better for certain penalty killing styles and different positional styles. So it all needs to kind of work together. Of course, you get your freaks who, like, you could probably take Carey Price and you could put him anywhere. He's going to be good.
Right.
But when the Montreal Canadiens were bad, everybody thought Carey Price was, he's not even a top 20 goalie anymore. He's terrible now. And then the Canadiens get good again and suddenly he's like top five again.
Right.
No, he never got bad. Like, it was the team in front of him.
Right, and that's the thing. So when you get a forward who maybe isn't playing as good or isn't developed as well, right, you've got guys around him that can kind of pick up that slack.
Yep.
Goaltenders, no one else is picking up that slack for him.
Yep.
You're going to find out he's bad if he's bad.
Right. Yeah, I mean, how many mistakes can you make in a game as a winger? You could probably make a couple mistakes in a game playing 13, 14 minutes.
Right.
You can make a mistake here and there. As a goalie, you parse that out over 60 minutes, you're making like 7 mistakes. You're out of the league like Michael Hutchinson.
No. Yeah, what a joke. I mean, it's, you know, there's some teams too that just always seem to find goaltenders and develop them. I mean, you look at Anaheim, for instance, Freddie Anderson, then they got John Gibson.
Yep.
Or Nashville, right? And
the guys they had before that,
right.
Jean-Sebastien Jaguar and
Guy Hebert. And, yep. I mean, freaking A. Yeah, so some teams just know how to do it. Others just can't seem to figure it out.
Yep.
And it's, I think, again, it has a lot to do with internal systems and then, you know, being able to just how difficult it is to project where goaltenders will go.
Yep.
So,
well, with that said, the Red Wings don't have anybody coming up through the pipeline that you can really put a definitive
seal of approval.
Yes or no,
yeah.
Onto.
Nothing like that yet. So,
All right. Well, any last Red Wings thoughts? Where do you think they'll finish ultimately this year?
Ultimately, I still think they're going to be right down there at the bottom with Ottawa. You know, I think, yeah, they've had a couple, you know, decent games here. You know, I mean, this last weekend they beat Boston and Vegas, which was nice, but
it's nice to see when you know that they're, like, they're not horrible. They just are missing some pieces.
Right.
And the league is so comparable that, like, if you're missing a couple pieces, you're just not going to win as many games. This is what it is.
Yeah.
But if you don't show up, you aren't probably going to beat the Red Wings. They're at least going to work.
Right. They will work.
Like, absolutely. Dylan Larkin's a workhorse.
Yeah.
That's what I can really appreciate, the fact that, like, that guy's willing to battle. Even though his team's bad, that guy's willing to battle. I'd take that guy on my team any day.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, I think, again, the Red Wings just, they're going to finish towards the bottom. They're going to get their draft picks and hopefully start to develop here. And maybe 2-3 years, we can start talking about a nice playoff team.
There you go. A nice Leafs Wings playoff battle. Ooh,
that'd be great.
That'd be fun. All right. Well, that's our show. You can hit us on at OT Hockey Talk on Twitter and Instagram and let us know what you think of the Detroit Red Wings. And, We'll be doing some more deep dives as we go. It's not going to be a consistent thing, but we'll be jumping around a little bit now for our one of our episodes. We'll continue our top tens and make sure you look out for that top 10 Ottawa Senators. Talk to you guys soon.